You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. We are in the offseason. We're in the clear. There are no more football games for a considerable amount of time. Spike, you know, we're venturing into the dark portion of football. So we gotta dig deep and find out what content we're putting out for the rest of the offseason, don't we?
We will be putting out content. Don't worry about that. What kind of content? I don't know. You're listening to this right now. And the fact that you are listening to this means that we care what you think about what type of content we put out. I'm just going to say that. I care about you.
Yeah,
right
we care about the listener here at Locked On Seahawks. And you know, later on in the show, I'm going to tease this right now. We're gonna talk about stuff going forward. The plan for this offseason, what you guys are going to be hearing when you tune into the podcast, and we're going to even ask for some advice from you, the listener. So stay tuned to the end of the show to hear that. But first, we're going to open with something that we didn't mention on yesterday's show, the Hall of Fame. It was a star-studded
yeah.
Hall of Fame class, and you know, I don't really have any issues with any of the inductees, but I will mention that there wasn't a safety inducted, thus hurting my Cam Chancellor Hall of Fame argument that was already on weak legs to begin with. I mentioned that because John Lynch wasn't inducted, but you know, I really don't have a problem with any of the inductees. Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Brian Urlacher. I'm going to pull up the rest of the list because I didn't earlier. Ray Lewis. I assumed, but I didn't remember for sure if he was inducted. But
who was the fifth? It was, oh boy.
All right.
Oh boy. Great cut.
Right. All right. We're stumbling into the offseason right now. Okay.
Was Brian Dawkins?
Brian Dawkins. Yeah, a safety was inducted. So, you know what? The Cam Chancellor argument still stands on some legs, but we're struggling. We're definitely struggling still.
So, a couple things. One, there was a brief rumor right before the Hall of Fame class was announced that Randy Moss wasn't going to be inducted. And so there's a whole, like, Twitter inquest about that, which turns out to be the stupidest thing possible because he was inducted. How does that, like, what hell world do we live in where people spend their time and energy debating about a guy not making the Hall of Fame who made the Hall of Fame? That's crazy. Like that is a philosophical nightmare that we constantly live in.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, whenever a lot of information leaks out on Twitter, some true, some not true, and me coming out publicly saying that I get most of my news from Twitter, you know, I'm on it and I run with what I see, but I make sure that it's verified and I make sure that, you know, it's well-sourced. But, yeah, I think seeing something like Randy Moss potentially not making it to the Hall of Fame, people would just instantly jump up in arms because it would be a travesty if he was left out. You know, a lot of people don't make it on their first ballot, but Randy Moss is truly one of the deserving players to have that honor.
Be clear, Randy Moss is arguably the second best wide receiver of all time.
Right. There's even an argument for him being the best receiver of all time, but I can't unbiasedly get into that argument because I didn't watch Jerry Rice as closely as I watched Randy Moss. But there'd be a lack of information on my side, so I can't, you know, willfully participate because, you know, I don't have all the information. But, you know, I see a lot of people saying that, and I know like a lot of people's opinions, like, whether it matters or not, you know, I'm not going to get into that. But there's definitely an argument because, you know, whenever a player, you know, gets into that kind of I'd say tier of wide receiver, and that he even brings up the argument, you know, that says all it needs to say about a receiver and his talent and you know how great he was. So Randy Moss, deserving of a first ballot Hall of Fame entry.
But also, before we move on from the Brian Dawkins Cam Chancellor comparison, Brian Dawkins, 5 first team All Pros in his career. He played for 16 seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
Cam Chancellor, 0 first team All Pros. Now, I will say this, you know who has 5 first team All Pros as a safety?
Earl Thomas. That's
right. And there are people out there who think Earl Thomas is a coin flip to make the Hall of Fame. For me, I think Brian Dawkins getting in makes it pretty clear that Earl Thomas will be a Hall of Famer at some point in his career, now that he has successfully bounced back from this injury at an all-pro level.
Yeah, I think he definitely should have been first team this year, but he wasn't because...
He was on some ballots and not on others. Like, it depends on which all-pro team you look at, but yeah.
Another thing concerning the Hall of Fame, another Seahawks legend, Terrell Owens, made it into the Hall of Fame, essentially doomed Matt Flynn's career, dropping a touchdown pass in the preseason against the Denver Broncos. That and Russell Wilson being as good as he is. Do you think he should have made it in on the first ballot? I think he should have. What do you think, Spike?
He certainly could have. He is underrated historically. I mean, it wouldn't be like Randy Moss missing it, where it's like, that's legitimately insane. But this is like his third or fourth ballot, right?
Yeah. And
yeah, you know, he should have been in by year two at the absolute worst.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the, you know, on-field antics and like just the persona that Terrell Owens had and carried with him, I think that clouded a lot of voters' minds. I think a lot worse people have gotten into the Hall of Fame. Maybe, you know, after the fact, you know, stuff came out, but still, I think that Terrell Owens, the on-field production couldn't be questioned. And I went on record on Twitter saying, you know, it's a shame that he had to wait to get in for this long, but, you know, he's in and it's well deserved. I mean, you look at guys like Brian Urlacher. Is his bust gonna have hair or not? You know, we don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But Brian Urlacher, he was a great linebacker. I think that his final play was against the Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken, in that 2012 game. But I think it's a great
there
class.
You go.
I think it's a great class. Yeah. We're gonna take a short break and then come back to you.
Wow, ooh. Grant Goldberg, short shrift to Ray Lewis. Respect for Grant. We're going to a break. Ray Lewis, get out of here. We already know about you.
Right. I don't think that needs... I mean, Ray Lewis, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Get out of here, Ray Lewis.
All right, we're gonna cut off Ray Lewis right now. We're going to get right back to you after this. We are back with more Locked On Seahawks, less Ray Lewis, Grant Goldberg, Spike Friedman. We are definitely going to talk about a current Seahawk and his observations in the Super Bowl. Doug Baldwin tweeted out the fact that the Eagles were superior than the Patriots in the running game and third down efficiency, and it kind of goes back to Seattle's philosophy over the years, Pete Carroll's philosophy over the years, and that, you know, that's a formula to win games. And it doesn't surprise me that Doug Baldwin's coming out and saying something like that, especially after the year that they had. To see a team win on that stage using sort of the formula that that Pete Carroll and the Seahawks have been using, it definitely puts in my mind that Pete Carroll's not going to abandon it, and we're going to see a lot more running the ball, and hopefully a lot better running of the ball. The Brian Schottenheimer hire kind of reaffirmed that, you know, the team is really committed to running, and if Pete Carroll tells Brian Schottenheimer to run the ball, he's going to run the ball. But I'm skeptical of the run game because we're going to see if it's the talent on the offensive line, too.
I just want to say that that there is a disparity between the Seahawks offensive line and the Philadelphia offensive line. And, yes, some of it is Tom Cable versus whoever's, I don't know who the Eagles offensive line coach is off the top of my head. Yeah, it's not Dante Scarnecchia. But man, like Jason Peters is really good, and when he's out, Hal Vitae is a lot better than Reece Odhiambo as a backup left tackle. Jason Kelce is one of the best centers in the league. Brandon Brooks allowed 0 sacks.
That's his name
from the guard position. Yes, I looked that up.
Just and Lane Johnson
is arguably the most athletic right tackle in the history of the NFL, and he's good. He's like, yeah, he both combines that, like, elite athleticism that the Seahawks look for in offensive linemen while being actually really good at his job. I mean, there's one.
I was going to say, yeah, like, that's the dream offensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes. And there's one shot from the game. Bill Barnwell does a thing where when there's a big hole opened up by an offensive line, he looks at how many width of the running back could fit through that hole. There's a hole that Jay Ajayi had where you could fit 9 Jay Ajayis through the hole. 9!
Jesus.
9x Ajayi! So, I mean, when did the Seahawks... I mean, the Seahawks didn't even have... It wasn't even about opening up holes. It was like, how many defensive linemen are going to be in the backfield to hit the running back? And the answer was frequently 9 somehow, which is too many. No, so,
Yeah,
the philosophy is also it was all play action passing, man. Like, I don't know, like Dougie, like, yes, like you want to be able to run the ball, but also the Eagles were leading the whole game.
Yeah,
like, of course you're running the ball when you're ahead.
Yeah, they did it well too. I think that, you know, this is going to be the year, obviously, that we see whether it was mostly the talent or mostly Tom Cable. We have in our minds right now, it's mostly Tom Cable, and that's likely true. But, you know, we're going to see when the team takes the field with being coached by Mike Solari that we're going to see whether, you know, it was more the players. And so, you know, I'm skeptical. You're skeptical. And, you know, it can't be trusted yet. We're going to have to see them take the field. We're going to have to see them, you know, create a hole to begin with and, you know, and keep defensive linemen from out of the backfield. And so while I appreciate, you know, Doug's pettiness and, you know, commitment to the philosophy that Seahawks have, you know, sometimes philosophies need to change depending on the personnel that you have. And, you know, it's in question whether the Seahawks have the right personnel right now in the offensive line room. Hopefully Justin Britt's not listening to this podcast because we'll both be promptly blocked.
I think he quit Twitter.
Ooh. I mean,
I've been blocked by Justin Britt for a long time. I didn't even add him. He name searched, and I didn't even say anything that crazy.
That's a little weak.
I said far worse things about
Jermaine Effetti.
I mean, I've said some things about Jermaine Effetti. I feel like it was Gary Gilliam who should have blocked me at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, it's but Jermaine Effetti got mad about one person's offensive lineman rankings. He like Jeff added Schwartz. Him on Twitter. And
it was
like,
Jeff Schwartz. It was the top offensive line analyst, not Mitchell Schwartz's brother.
Oh no, he got mad at him separately. There was a different.
Oh yeah,
there was a different offensive lineman rank. It's like top 100 offensive lineman in the NFL, and Effetti was pissed. But I didn't even look at it. But I assumed he was low. I mean, all signs pointed to him being low for being that upset. Yeah, he got mad online the other day.
Justin Britt is officially off Twitter.
All right. Did you incognito search that now?
You bet.
I know he's active on Instagram. He was, like, tweeting out plays in the Super Bowl. But Jermaine Effetti, like, started telling this guy that he needs to be, like, coached up about offensive lines. And the guy, like, the whole time was, like, saying, like, oh, yeah, like, I know you have the talent, but just, like, you know, like, put in the work. And, like, I think that's, like, the least... like helpful thing for an NFL player to hear when they're mad online, because like they do put in a lot of work and sometimes they're just not that good. And so hopefully Jermaine Effetti, for his sake, can get a little better and he can stop getting mad online at people putting out rankings. All right, that was a lot to say. We are going to take the last break of the show and then come back to you with the plan going forward for this offseason. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks. Welcome back to the final portion of the Locked On Seahawks podcast for today. You're still with Spike and Grant, and we're going to kind of let you in on what we're going forward with in this offseason. And we're going to try to do like a weekly segment, but we haven't quite put a finger on what we're going to do. Spike, let the listeners in on, you know, the ideas that we have right now.
Yeah, we've got a couple ideas of, you know, because we're doing this 2-3 times a week, and there's a limited amount of news, especially until the draft happens. We're going to do a Michael Bennett book club when his book comes out, but his book isn't out yet, so we can't do it yet. So what we wanted to figure out was, what should we do as a weekly segment for the next couple months as a fun but football-related thing to do? Some ideas we had included football movie club, where we watch a football movie and talk about it. Yeah. Seahawks History Club, where we go back through Seahawks history and we talk about it.
Yeah, lots of clubs so far.
Lots of clubs. What are some other ones? I don't know. Those might be the only two good ideas we have. Wait, you had another good idea. What was your good idea?
Well, it's kind of like a one-time thing, but we can kind of make it into a different thing. So I had an idea, and we might do this another show. What Seahawks would make it into The Good Place?
Oh yeah, and it's gonna be like recasting TV shows with Seahawks.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that'd be a fun.
We could just do that.
Yeah, we can.
Doesn't take any preparation from us. We don't have to watch a TV show.
Right. Yeah. So we can do that, and we can do, you know, if you guys have your own ideas that you'd like to hear us go forward with, reach out to us on Twitter. We're at our names, at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. The show is at Lock Seahawks, and we're always accessible on that website or app, whatever you use. So we'd like to hear your suggestions, because, you know, we count on you guys to listen to the show. So go ahead and whether it be on Twitter or even in the form of an iTunes review, because we haven't gotten one of those in a long time. But, we definitely love to hear you guys' suggestions.
Yeah, we want to hear from you, the person who's listening to this podcast now.
If you leave a review or, you know, you reach out to us on Twitter, that's some points for you to get into The Good Place. I definitely did not just start The Good Place and just watch it on Netflix.
Oh, you just started it?
Yeah, I'm behind the trend. But,
oh, my God.
Oh, no, I definitely didn't. That wasn't me. Last night, falling asleep during like the sixth episode of the day.
It's a good show.
Yeah, I really like it. I think that, you know, it's a show that really anybody can enjoy.
True. Guys, this is a Good Place hype podcast now.
Locked On Good Place.
Yeah.
But if you guys are not listening to this podcast, definitely take advantage of your or somebody else's Netflix account to watch that show. But I think that does it. We kind of teased The Good Place talk. We might do that next show. We don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. So we'll do Good Place talk on the next show. This is officially Locked On Good Place. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we're gonna be coming with the content this offseason. So let us know what you guys want to hear, because we'll definitely take what you have to say into consideration. So leave an iTunes review with your Twitter handle in it. You'll get access to Pro Football Focus Edge account. You can see all the numbers from this past football season. You can compare them to other sites, see what you like best. There's NBA games going on that you can go on and play a draft with. You can use the promo code LONFL. For a free draft on your first visit. And I think we covered everything, especially leaving Ray Lewis out of the Hall of Fame conversation.
Oh God, get out of here, Ray Lewis.
Seriously. No, but for Locked On Seahawks, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman also signing off.